I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Imagine someone having dressing for lunch. Yeah, he's just having only dressing. Hallelujah. That's how we appear when we relate with people only dealing with grace. Hallelujah. Yeah, only dealing with grace, never telling the truth, never facing up to the truth. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. So even Santa knows that. That ain't gonna work. Amen. So we need both what? Grace and truth. Amen. And if we have grace and truth, God will use us to affect and to establish more people. Because a lot of people need grace. The truth is more common to find than the grace that helps us cope with it. Amen. The grace that helps a person cope with and flow with the truth. So we see examples of how Jesus mixed truth with grace. And number one example I gave you was Jesus knew the truth about Judas, but he mixed it with grace. Amen. That the betrayal of Judas, you know, him selling Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver and all his activities, which were hidden to the other disciples, were not hidden to Jesus at all. Amen. They were not hidden to Jesus at all. Maybe the other disciples didn't know. They didn't understand, you know. In fact, the Bible says one time he went out and people thought that he had gone to sort out some sort of something. Yeah, you get it. But when Judas arrived with the people who were coming to arrest Jesus Christ, it was Jesus who told him that whatever you are doing, do it quickly. It's like, I know what you are coming to do. And they're just, let's get it over with, because you are not surprising me. I know what you're doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, sometimes you're with people, and it's not like you don't know what you're doing. You know what they're doing. You know what is wrong, what they think is hidden. See, it is always good for you to assume that other people are at least intelligent as you are. Does it make sense? It's a helpful way to think. You know, it will keep you from lying. It will make you less deceptive. You see, when you understand that other people must be at least, if they are averagely intelligent, they must be like you. You see, unless you consider yourself as someone who is super, super intelligent, you know, and you may be right, but you will find that you're most likely wrong. You see what I'm saying? Because majority of people will fall within the scope of averageness, you know, when it comes to intelligence. Do you get it? So always think that way. Now, when you think that way, you try not to trick people and deceive people, because you know they can also understand. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. So Jesus Christ, he knew exactly what Judas was up to, but he just mixed it with grace. Amen. He said that somebody is here in this meeting. The person is going to even dip his hand in the plate, same plate as me. That's the guy who will betray me, you know. And when Judas dipped the food in the same plate with him, He didn't shout and say, "You see, I told you. You see, there he is. I've caught him." He didn't say anything. It was as though nothing had happened. But he was allowing the prophecy also to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So Judas was not a surprise to Jesus Christ. He just handled him with grace. Amen. And across your lifetime, you meet people that you just have to handle with grace. You know them. You know what they are saying. Sometimes you know what they are saying. It's not true. You see what I'm saying? You know what they are saying is not true. You know that they are lying to you. You know, because if you have the Holy Spirit also, who is called the Spirit of Truth, you know, then things that are false don't really land well when they are thrown at you. You get it? The Spirit of Truth in you deflects them. You get it? So just because a person doesn't say anything doesn't mean he has believed your story. Are you getting it? But rather that there is such a thing as handling truth with grace. And so that may make the person accommodate and still not react or respond in a certain way. Amen. Number two was Jesus makes the truth, knew the truth about Peter, but he also mixed it with grace. He knew four different truths about Peter. One, that Peter was open to satanic and worldly influences. Do you see? He knew it. Remember how he said that, Peter, you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It's like Peter was someone who liked, he didn't encourage the things of God. He rather would encourage, you know, things of men. You know, he was more excitable and excited by, you know, worldly issues. Maybe when men were gathering together, talk about cars and talk about basketball and talk about soccer, you know, and talk about houses and talk about things like that, then you see himself will arrive. You get it? And there are some people like that. They savor not the things that be of God. If we're talking about church things, talking about God, spiritual things, messages, preaching, pastors, they have nothing to say. They just keep quiet as though they are unbelievers. You know, they have nothing, no contribution, no comments. They just don't have anything to say. You know, then when you switch the subject and start talking about Trump and fake news and start talking about what else?
Yeah?
Basketball, soccer. Then they know all the players. They know everything. They know the ins and outs of the Trump-Russia collusion, you know. And they know about Putin. They know his age. They know. They have even personal photographs of Putin. You get it? They know everything about North Korea. Do you get it? These are people who savor the things of men, but do not savor the things that be of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew that about Peter. You know, he knew that about Peter, the things men like. Because Jesus had said that he was going to die. And as soon as he said he was going to die, then Peter just pulled him aside and rebuked him and said, "Don't talk like that. We are not going to die." And Jesus said, "See, this is an example of the things of men. Men like to live. Men like long life. Men like positive confessions. Men like say, receive it, take it, come on. Yeah, these are the things you want me to say." But to sacrifice for God, to die for God, to endure hardship for God, to endure pain for God, those are things of the Spirit and things of God. And he said, "You don't encourage those things." And that is an element of Satan in you. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, because thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Amen. Make sure you are someone who encourages things that be of God. Amen. And discourage things that are not of God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, Jesus also knew the truth about Peter, that he slept at prayer meetings. Isn't it? Yeah. Now, if you attend enough prayer meetings, you will find out that there are some good sleepers. Sometimes regular sleepers. Do you see that? There are some people, they'll come. But There will be no difference between coming and not coming. You get it? But you know, there is a blessing in coming. Hallelujah. There is a blessing in coming, even if you're going to fall asleep. Seriously. Hallelujah. Because you never know. You know, these people, they were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, and they were also, I think in that situation, they were also sleeping like that. But suddenly they got up. And here was a very powerful something that was happening right when they were asleep. So what I'm saying is that even though they were asleep, they were there. Do you understand? And they had an encounter, you know, that those who didn't come did not have. Do you get it? So sometimes you say that I'm so tired, I don't want to go to the all night. You just come, bring your tiredness to the all night, because God does not need you to be awake to work on you. Does it make sense? Yeah, oh yeah. You see, actually, when God was going to work on Adam to pull a woman out of him, the Bible said he put him to sleep. That's where doctors got the idea of putting people to sleep when you're going to have a surgery. Do you get it? If you're going to take parts out of people's bodies, you need to put them to sleep. You see, so God performed this operation and he put Adam to sleep. You know, and while he was sleeping, he pulled something out of him and he created the woman out of him. So you need to understand that whether you are awake or asleep or whatever, do you understand? You are not beyond the reach of God. Amen. You're not beyond it. That's why a lot of visions and dreams rather happen when people are sleeping. Is it not the case? When God wants to talk to people, he talks to them when their minds are at rest. And the minds are not actively working to even fight the revelations that God wants to give them. So when you are dreaming, you see you are helpless and the dream seems to be happening to you. You don't seem to be able to contribute to the dream. And the dream seems to happen to you. Hey, if people could contribute to their dreams, you know, you would take it where you would like it to go. It would be a wonderful something. Are you getting it? Yeah. So it's a blessing that we can go to a meeting even if we fall asleep. So Jesus knew that there is no point in counting. We do not count people out just because they fell asleep at a meeting. Are you getting it? We should not be discouraged. We should not give up on people because they slept at a meeting. Jesus knew that even though these people are sleeping at this meeting, they are still good people, you know, I can count on to leave the church for. And he was right. Because today, after many years after Jesus Christ, the gospel has come as far as it has come because of these sleepy brothers. Do you understand? Clap for the sleepy brothers. I think they did a good job. Yeah. Sleeping at the meeting, but they were still faithful. They died for the gospel. Hallelujah. So some of the not so, apparently not so serious looking people, you should never give up on them. Because you never know what God can do with such people. Amen. Right. Number three, Jesus knew the truth about Peter, that Peter would let him down, but he still worked with him. You know, he is the one that told Peter that the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So I know you are now about to deny me, but I like you all the same. Hallelujah. And then the fourth one, he knew that Peter would leave the ministry and backslide altogether, but he still trusted him. Amen. And the next example of Jesus mixing truth with grace is that Jesus knew the truth about Thomas, but he mixed it with grace. Amen. He knew the truth about Thomas, but he mixed it with grace. Now, John chapter 20 and verse 24, the Bible says, but one of the 12, okay, John chapter 20, and from verse 24. Maybe we can back up a little bit. Verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed unto them. Hallelujah. It says, when he had said this, he did what? He breathed unto them. He breathed unto them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And when he had said this, he breathed unto them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, do you see? It says, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus knew this about Thomas. Thomas, one of the 12, that means someone who was supposed to be like close, one of the core people in the group. Amen. That's why it says Thomas, one of the 12. It's like one of the key guys, you know. But he was not with them when Jesus came. You see, now that tells me right there that it is important to be at certain meetings, isn't it? And not being at certain key meetings, especially when you're a leader, you know, has a major effect. It does have an effect on who you are and what you believe and the perspectives you have and the understanding that you have. Hallelujah. So when you're a leader or when you're a shepherd or anyone that is significant in the house of God, if for some reason you're not able to attend a meeting, you must chase after. You see, you must take it upon yourself to chase after what you may have missed. Because it's not true that you didn't miss anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not true that you didn't come to the meeting, but it is of no consequence. That is not true. There is always something. Now look at it. These people have been with Jesus. All the things that Thomas is requesting are exactly what Jesus came to do. Do you get it? Thomas said, no, I need to see the prints. Right? He said, I need to put my hand in the print. He said, I need to put my hand in the side. These are my three conditions for believing. But when you read the earlier part of the verse, it says, when Jesus came to them, you know, and then he showed them, they did not even ask. He volunteered and showed them his hands and his side. And they were glad when they saw the Lord. He gave them the proof even without them asking. Now, here is Thomas. He was not at the meeting. And so what Jesus had voluntarily offered to the disciples, he was not privy to it. And so now his thinking is different. He doesn't believe what the others believe. When the others believe we have seen the Lord, he thinks it's nonsense. The others believe Jesus came here, he thinks it's rubbish. The others believe they must live and die for Jesus. He thinks, you know, you guys, you are taking these things too far. Do you get it? Because his whole understanding is different. He's falling short. They have seen something. They have experienced something that he has not seen. And that has changed him or left him unchanged, left him behind in a place where the others have long left. Hallelujah. Amen. So what do we do with such a person? Now look at it. Even here, Jesus breathed on them. Thomas was not there. He breathed on them. He said, you know, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yes. Thomas was not there. Can you see that? A meeting where Jesus is breathing the Holy Ghost on people, and you say you didn't miss anything. You missed something. Hallelujah. You missed something. It makes a big difference. But it says, Jesus, he says, after 8 days again, verse 26, 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them this time. Do you understand? So it looks like Thomas had repented. He said, I'm not missing a meeting ever again from today. I'm not missing a camp meeting. You know, whatever it is, I'm going to be there. Amen. And it says they came, Jesus came, then came Jesus, the doors being shut. They had locked the doors. Then Jesus came through the locked doors and came and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, you know, he said, peace be unto you. Then he singled out Thomas. Because he had heard the things Thomas had been saying. Hallelujah. He came, this coming seems purposefully just for Thomas. For the sake of including Thomas. Are you getting it? And that is why you shouldn't be surprised. If you are following God, you must remember that God will come all the way just for one person. Are you getting it? It is worth going all the way for the sake of one person. Going all the way just to bring one person to church. Just to pick one person up to church. Sometimes this one person, oh my Lord, will make the rest of the people late. And you are tempted so much. Why don't we just leave him? You know, we count to the, let's count three. If he doesn't come in the next 3 seconds, we'll just leave. But Jesus came all the way because of Thomas. And then he said unto him, he said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Right? Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Hallelujah. And then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He wouldn't even touch it. He just said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. And then Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So you see, again, here Jesus is mixing the truth with grace. He has given him grace by providing what Thomas was missing and coming all the way to give Thomas a chance to see the things he wanted to see. Thomas said he wants to touch him. You see, none of the other disciples were touching him even. He showed it to them, but they didn't come and touch him. But Thomas said, as for me, I want to touch it. I want to see the thing and put my hand in it. Then I want to touch the side also. Then I'll believe otherwise. And Jesus came, and when he came, he just said, peace be unto you. You know, it's like saying good evening, everybody. Then he said, Thomas, come. Come and look. You know. Then he said, come and touch. Then Thomas says, oh Lord, my Lord and my God, you are my Lord. You are my God. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Lord, I apologize. You know, it was just the way the people were talking, you know. Lord, Please, just try to understand. Okay, so now that's the grace, you see, to go the extra mile to meet someone halfway, come all the way to give him what he wants, just to make it possible for him. But that didn't go without the rebuke. Now, truth must also follow. So right after that, even though Thomas now says, Lord, I believe, you are my Lord and my God, Jesus said, yeah, I hear you, but let's talk about the real thing. He said, now you have seen me and you believe. But I want you to know that you are not the same as people who believe even though they have not seen. Hallelujah. They are in a more blessed category. People who have not seen. He said, you have seen, you know, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Can you see that? Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Then he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. He said, blessed are those who didn't get to touch, those who didn't get to see, but they believe. You know, it's a higher blessing to believe without seeing much. It's a higher blessing to believe without seeing much. And Jesus was trying to point that out to Thomas, that look, if you see and you believe, it's good, but it's a lower level of faith. You know, it's a lower level of faith that everything is all right. So you say, I believe God will take me safely. Do you understand? You have money in your pocket. You say, oh, God will look after me. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because you can see all the things are adding up. And you can see how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to pay for this, how you're going to pay for that. You know, and then you rejoice and say, the Lord has provided. All I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And Jesus said, yeah, that's good, but it's at a lower level. Do you understand? It is at a lower level. It is at a lower level. There is the other level where we cannot see. We don't know how. We don't know where. We don't know who. And we don't know when, but we still believe. Hallelujah. We still believe. That is the sort of faith that Abraham had. When Abraham was taking Isaac to go sacrifice him, and Isaac was asking him, I can see the firewood, I can see everything. The only thing I can see is the sacrifice. What exactly are we going to sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord knoweth. The Lord will provide. When we get there, we will see. Wow. Hallelujah. If God really wants me to kill this boy, well, so be it. If God will make a way, so be it. I don't know. But when we get there, we will see. Hallelujah. Wow. So Jesus made sure that, look, this guy now believes, this guy has got what he wants. We have accommodated him. We've met him halfway. We've met him at the point of his need. But it's important to get one or two points across to him so that he can understand that when you believe without seeing, it is greater than when you believe because you have seen. And that is something we need to make clear to Thomas. Can I have an amen? So that's another example of mixing the truth with grace. Can I have an amen? Then the last example is that Jesus mixed truth with grace when he dealt with the disciples. He knew the truth about the 10 disciples, but he mixed it with grace. Amen. Jesus knew the truth about his disciples. He knew that his disciples would desert him. Isn't it? Yeah, when he needed them most. But he still trusted them. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. The Bible says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Do you see? Can you imagine? This is where things are coming to an end. You are getting ready to go back to heaven. And then that's when all the disciples have forsaken him. Hallelujah. Yes. But because of grace, Jesus still brought these people together and still trusted them to be able to do the working. Amen. He overlooked all their faults. He overlooked their mistakes. He overlooked their absences. He overlooked their irregular attendance. He overlooked even their non-tithe payment habits. He overlooked, you know, some of the things that will come today, not come. You know, sometimes he could count on them. Sometimes he couldn't count on them. But he still said, these are good people. Hallelujah. And I find that people who end up with people around them are people who are able to overlook what others can't stand. Do you understand? There are some people, they can't deal with you except what is wrong with you. That's the only thing they are interested in. What is wrong with you is the only thing they would like to discuss. But there are some people who also see those same things. Do you get it? But they can see more reason. More reason to flow. More reason to accept you. More reason to relate with you. More reason to believe that you can become something great. Hallelujah. I was sharing with you how people didn't understand why Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Because they said he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. People didn't understand why Jesus would tolerate a woman, you know, to come and be all over him, you know, his feet and just playing around. I mean, even today, that scene would not be very interesting. What do you think? Yeah, even today, if you saw somebody standing really close to the pastor, you would not like it very much. Do you get it? Yeah. And this one is not standing close. She's actually touching him, you know. And she's on his feet, you know. Diana, put your feet here. Let me see. Yeah, you see. And then she's putting her hair on. You get it? Can you imagine it? It must have been a very uncomfortable. And this was happening in public. In public. And Jesus didn't say stop. You get it? Jesus didn't say stop it. You get it? He was probably even moving the leg so that she would finish it properly. You get it? Yeah. And just when she finished one day, he did this. Just, can you finish this also? You know, and then as well, you know, he would turn the heel like that. You know, and the lady was just going on, you know. Yes. And when people started complaining, he said, shh, leave her alone. Leave her alone. He said, shut up, leave her alone. Can you continue, please? Hallelujah. Yeah. So, Jesus knew what he was doing. Wow. Hallelujah. And I believe that as we continue in the month of evangelism, as God brings us in touch with people who clearly fall short of the standards we know in the Lord, it will not mean that it is their end, that they have no hope, but that they have hope also, and that God can use them if we can mix the truth about them with grace. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Right. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today and thank you for today's lesson. To mix truth with grace, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you will help us to do it and to do it well, to do it the way Jesus does it, to be able to see good in people, to be able to see a future in people, no matter what their current flaws and faults are, that we will be able to see beyond them, look beyond them and see greatness in them and see what God can do with them. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.